It's very unusual that I don't have a single passage for you to turn to, but this morning I have three separate texts, rather easy to hold in the mind because each one is only a sentence or a fragment of a sentence. And they all have the idea of prayer, talking to God and speaking our petitions and our praise to Him in common. And I also think that you are familiar with these three texts. So just listen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 simply says, pray without ceasing. John 14:13-14, this is Jesus talking to His people. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. The third is from Ephesians 6:18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. It is no surprise to us that repeatedly the Bible encourages us in both the Old and New Testament to be a people of prayer. It is not uncommon for a minister of the gospel to deliver a sermon from time to time to encourage this spiritual practice of coming before God with our petitions and our praises. But I do think if you took these three verses and pressed them together, all of which encourage us to pray, you could also see something of what we might call a crash course on prayer. We're told to pray habitually. Pray without ceasing. We're told to pray in Jesus' name. It's a promise that Jesus gave to us that when He answers that prayer, His Father will be glorified. And we're told that we are to pray all kinds of prayer. That is to say, we come to God and we pray in a variety of ways. That's a crash course. Pray habitually. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray a variety of prayers. We will think through those ideas. Before we do, however, it is utterly crucial that we always remember, when it comes to approaching a holy God in prayer, it is not a right that is ours by creation. It is a right and a privilege that is ours by redemption. Or to put it a different way, praying is a blood-purchased privilege. When Jesus steps on the historical scene and He tells us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name," the only reason we can call Him our Father, knowing that He will care for us and provide us, and not call Him a judge who will condemn us, is because the very Jesus that commanded us to pray our Father in heaven would later go to the cross and purchase our salvation and our adoption so we could look up to heaven and not fear a judge but trust a Father. Praying is a blood-purchased privilege. If there is any book in the Bible that understands this truth, it is the book of Hebrews. And we read in Hebrews 10:19, at least a partial sentence from that chapter. "We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." By the blood of Jesus, we can enter into the holy presence of God and speak our praise to Him and utter our petitions to Him, because our right to be there is not based on merit. It is a privilege purchased for us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have access to God the Father, the Scriptures say, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should never forget that it is the gospel of Jesus that purchases our right to pray, and we ought to come with humble and thankful hearts because of it. While that is true and utterly necessary, there are some verses in the Bible that really help us to understand and embrace how we ought to pray. And the first one, at least, that comes to my mind is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, three words, pray without ceasing. It sounds like a lot to do. Don't cease in your praying. Whatever else those three words mean, it is absolutely a certainty that it means that prayerlessness is a tragedy. What emptiness, oh, what spiritual barrenness there is in a life that is void of prayer. Oh, how many blessings from God. How many benefits of grace are lost when we choose to ignore or to forget about or to postpone praying. One of the reasons prayerlessness is such a tragedy, because it is in essence us saying to Almighty, all gracious God, we don't need your help. We may call on you in times of emergency, but you are not pervasive in our daily lives, and we push him to the margins of irrelevance. Prayerlessness is no way for a believing person to live. It's a tragedy. And so the apostle says here that we are to pray without ceasing. But obviously that doesn't mean we pray 24/7 nonstop. That we're always verbalizing prayers or forming prayers in our minds. We know that's not so, because we sleep and we work and we engage in conversations. So what does the apostle mean when he says, never give up on prayer, never stop it, pray without ceasing? One obvious thing he means is that we are to always be at the ready to pray. There is a sense in which the soul of a believer should always be in the posture of prayer. Our default mental state ought to be, oh God, at any time during the day, and we offer him our praise or express our concern for him. I saw an interesting illustration of this morning. Most of you know, I rarely talk about my family in a service. We have three sons. They're all engaged in the military. We've had several deployments over the years. And it has always been the case that when a son is on deployment, I hope she won't mind it, I didn't ask her permission, my wife sleeps with her phone beside her pillow, fully charged, ready to take a phone call if it comes in the middle of a night when a son is far away. Always at the ready to hear the voice of a son calling. That is similar to what it means to pray without ceasing. To always be at the ready. At any moment, when we feel the prompting of the Spirit, when we feel the urgency or the need arise in the soul, to go to God and say, oh God, grant me wisdom. Help me in this difficult conversation. I'm driving along in my car. I feel the need to turn the radio off and to express my praise to you rather in song or with words. To pray without ceasing is to always be at the ready to pray. Which is another way of saying is that we will never think for a moment or entertain the idea, I really don't need to pray. Oh, no, no. Prayer, to pray without ceasing is to pray over and over and often. It is to refuse to be hit and miss at prayer. This is why Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue steadfast in prayer or be devoted to it. Romans 12 verse 12 says, be constant in prayer. And there is this unbroken idea through the whole stretch of Scripture that we are to be a people who are engaged, never hit and miss, never infrequent. That prayer is to characterize who we are as people. That will mean sometimes our praying will be spontaneous through the day, and sometimes it will be set times, specific times, when we've planned to go before God and pray. It is a life that is marked by habitual intercession and worship before God. Martin Luther, the great reformer, put it this way. As it is the business of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. So if the Bible says be constant at prayer, pray without ceasing, be devoted to prayer, it means you make it a priority. You can't be devoted to something and persistent in something that is not a conviction, a resolve, a priority. So we sacrifice for it. We give plenty of time to it. We're at the ready to pray. Because Christians and this blood purchase privilege that is ours are always a moment's noted from going Godward in prayer. So in this crash course, that's the first idea. The second one is that we ought to pray in Jesus' name. Those of you who've been Christians probably for any length of time, or if you've heard Christians pray from time to time, you heard it this morning, we have sort of invented a sign-off that is frequently used. And frankly, I applaud it. We get to the end of the prayer and we say what? In Jesus' name. Amen. I read a book a few years ago that was titled Praying Backwards, suggesting that perhaps it would be a good idea from time to time to start our prayers by saying, Our Father in heaven, we come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. To remind us of our utter dependence on God, the Holy Trinity, as we pray, especially as we mix our voices in and apply the name of Jesus to it. Let me just say in passing, what a privilege it is to use the name of Jesus. What a privilege it is to speak His name. Remember, it's a blood-purchased privilege. I remember a few years ago I was asked to give an address at a local religious ceremony that would be attended by citizens in our community. And as I was being given my instructions, I was told, now, Reverend Gregory, I always worry when people say Reverend Gregory, you need to understand that we don't want you to preach Jesus. And when you pray, you must not say, in Jesus' name, amen. We don't know who's going to be here. We don't want to offend anyone. So all you must say is God. Just say the simple word God. And maybe preach on an encouraging psalm. Stay away from the New Testament, in other words. And I thought about that, and from one perspective, I understood, I appreciated the sensitivity of a public coming together in a religious setting, but there was no way I could accept that invitation. Because we're not to be ashamed of Jesus. It is a blood-purchased privilege of ours to love Him and live for Him and be unashamed of Him openly. And we never compromise when it comes to using His name before our Father in heaven. Let's never forget the privilege that is ours and the cost that Jesus paid so we could say at the beginning or in the middle or at the end of our prayers, I'm putting Jesus' name to this petition. So here's the verse. It comes from Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Understand, when Jesus says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it, He is not giving us a magic formula. Nor is He giving us a blank check. Okay, Jesus, $1 million, please. Okay, Jesus, never failing health the whole of my life. Okay, Jesus, no suffering for living for the purposes and glory of God. No more martyrdoms. You know that Jesus does not answer in that manner. Rather, it is necessary for us to remember that in my name means that we are to pray for, that we are to ask for, that we are to intercede God the Father for anything that we can actually put the name of Jesus to. All that is consistent with His name, all that is in agreement with His nature, all that truly represents His character and His ways and His teaching, of that we can be sure we can ask in His name. I think it was back in the 1930s, 1940s, I'm unsure which one. In the middle section of our country, there was a rehab center for alcoholics called the Colony of Mercy. And it was founded by a man whose name is William Rawls, a godly man, a lover of Jesus, who wanted to use his resources and his time to reach and minister and help broken lives, destroyed lives caused by alcoholism. And he was known in the community for his helpfulness. One day, one of the drunks left the property, left the Colony of Mercy, made his way to the tavern, walked in and said, give me a shot of whiskey in Rawls' name. Put it on Rawls' account. Let's drink to the name of Rawls. That doesn't sit well with you, does it? And it didn't sit well with the bartender. He said, people who follow Rawls are no customers of ours. And he went on to say, we can't charge it to his name because he won't pay for it. It was an abuse of his name. It was blasphemous to the name of Ross. And when Jesus hands us his sacred name to use in prayer, it is not a blank check. It is total freedom for us to ask for what brings honor to his Father, what is consistent with his nature, with his name, with what he's taught us. Can I give you a simple example? One day the disciples were saying to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done like the angels do it. Give us our daily food. Give us forgiveness of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but down paths of holiness and deliver us from evil. Those petitions came from the lips of Jesus. It's those kinds of petitions that Jesus cares about. And if those kinds of petitions come from the lips of Jesus, can't we put the name of Jesus to that list? Of course we can. What did Jesus say one day? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life as lays down his life for his sheep. Can't we take that? It's consistent with his nature. It is one of his great names that he's our shepherd. And go to the Father and say, Oh, Father, your son is the good shepherd. Help me today to follow him and be led in the good way. That's a petition you can pray in Jesus' name. And on it goes. The more you know about Jesus, the more faithful you will be able to pray in his name. Now, I don't want to rush by this because there's something exciting here. To pray in a manner consistent with his name, to assign his name to what is agreeable to his character, two things happen. The Father is glorified and you get joy. Listen to the verse again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When you ask appropriately for what is consistent and agreeable with my name, and when I answer, God the Father is worshiped. He's honored by that. But what about us? Interestingly, the command to pray in Jesus' name is found a second time. This time in John 16, verse 23. Just listen. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. So not only is the Father glorified, we receive joy in him, because every answer to prayer is a reason for joy and rejoicing. So let me summarize. We're not asking in Jesus' name for stuff, nor are we asking in Jesus' name for no suffering whatsoever. But we are asking so that when the answers come, the Father is glorified. And the joy is ours for the sweetness of the answer that we have received. So that's the second thing. Actually, I've said three things, haven't I? We ought to pray humbly and reverently. It's a blood-purchased privilege. We ought to pray habitually. How can we not? We have this audience with this indescribably glorious God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine for his glory and for our joy. And so we must pray in Jesus' name. But there's one more thing in this crash course. We ought to pray in a variety of ways. Listen to the verse, Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit. By the way, I think that means two things. To pray in the Spirit means to pray in a manner consistent with the Word of God, because it is the Spirit of God who gave us His Word. But beyond that, I believe it means when the Holy Spirit prompts the soul to pray, we ought to pray. And I think He does that more often than we realize. Let's not limit the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That being said, the verse goes on. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. and requests. Meaning, there are all sorts of ways to pray. And I'm not just talking about kneeling and standing. By the way, when it comes to posture, did you know the biblical norm, at least in the New Testament, is to pray standing with your eyes open toward heaven? You can check it out for yourself. Regardless of posture, there are all kinds of prayers. Read the Psalms, for instance. In the Psalms, you will read prayers that are pure worship and expressions of gratitude to God. They're psalms of praise. But some of the psalms are pure psalms of penitence, of repentance, of confession of sin. There are some psalms that are devoted almost exclusively to lament or to grieving. And there are psalms that are devoted to asking many different things from God, petitioning Him for needs to be met in our personal lives and in the lives of others. There are all sorts of prayer, unique kinds of prayer, a variety of prayer in the psalms. And some of the psalms mix all those together. In one psalm, you can have prayer and asking and confession all in one. Read Psalm 51 if you doubt it. You go to the Lord's Prayer, much smaller than the Psalter just quoted a minute or two ago. There's praise there, hallowed be your name. There's confession there, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There's much asking there, oh, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, lead us not. So you have these variety of prayers. And we ought to know that. And so sometimes we come to God with praise, and sometimes with confession, and sometimes with asking. Now, there are a lot of acronyms out there for prayer. You're familiar with ACTS, right? A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Very famous. Too complicated for me. So I have three. P-C-A. Praise, confession, asking. Especially if you're new to prayer or you've been away for a long time and you're looking for a rather simple approach to get back into the groove again. Maybe this is a way you can think. The first thing I must do is offer praise to God. So often we reduce praying to confessing or asking. And we forget that the chief reason prayer is engaged in the Bible, more than anything else, is that God may hear words of praise from us to Him. I want you to just listen to one verse here that I think proves this point. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 verse 15. Through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Isn't that encouraging? Not let us do it occasionally, you know, on Sunday and Thursday. Let us continually, time after time, let us with great frequency look up toward heaven and offer Him the fruit of our lips through Jesus, the praise God is worthy to receive. Now, when I use the word praise here, I'm pressing together our adoring God and our thanking God. For you see, when we worship God, that is, when we adore Him and thank Him, we praise Him for who He is, His character, His perfections, His glorious attributes. But we thank Him for what He's done, His acts of grace and faithfulness and kindness. Never do we want our lives to be marked by prayerlessness. And never do we want our praying lives to be marked by worshipless prayers either. Let us continually offer up to God words of praise. And then there is confession. PC. Confession. You know what the word confession means? It doesn't mean to tell God something He doesn't know. He knows. He is the God who sees me. There is no such thing as secrecy. We can keep it from others, but not from Him. So the word confession does not mean informing God. It means agreeing with God. And in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, we come to God and we call our sin what it is. We come to Him and we say to Him, Lord, I was harsh with so-and-so. Lord, I've been holding a grudge against. Lord, I gossiped. Lord, I coveted. Lord, I lusted. Lord, I acted in a way that dishonored the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, we bring it out and say, Lord, I agree. Would you come and bring forgiveness? That daily restoration that we need. How wonderful it is to be reminded of the faithfulness of God to forgive our sins. And if you ask the question, how often should you confess? Every day. Because you sin every day. And so do I. So there are these prayers of praise and prayers of confession. And thirdly, there are prayers of asking. Sometimes the word is used, we make petition to God, or we offer supplications to God, or we list our requests and our needs to God. I'm reducing all of those to the word ask. After all, prayer is asking God for His will for us, to meet our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus, in a manner worthy of what He knows we need, not what we think. And so when we come to ask, we ask for each other. We ask for those who are near and dear to us. Why, Jesus even teaches that we're to pray for our enemies. And we're certainly to pray for ourselves. Lord, today I need grace. I need grace. My biggest petition for myself on Sunday morning is that I will be freed from fear. And in all these years of preaching, for some reason, God has refused to take it away completely. But Sunday after Sunday, He gives grace. He gives grace. What do you need to ask Him for? You see. For yourself and for others. And one of the best ways to pray, I think, for each other and for ourselves is not so much to be list-driven or need-driven, but to be meditation-driven. In other words, as you go to the Word of God and as the Spirit of God shows you truth in that Word, turn that into praise for yourself and those nearest and dear for you and for your people. There is so much that we can pray for if our prayers are linked to the Word that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Well, I suppose I should wrap it up. With the exception of one more final piece of advice. Yes, I know. Do you know what it means when a preacher wears a watch? Nothing. It's why I don't wear one. This last thing here. For those who've been away a long time, I was so moved by that illustration at the beginning. Never heard it put that way before. Holy God, sinful man, and Jesus steps into the middle. And with a blood-purchased privilege, you know what it means? It gives us the right to step forward and stand right beside Him. and to pray under the shadows of the cross. What a picture. What a privilege. So here is my closing piece of advice. The best way to learn to pray is to pray. Learning a new language or a new skill is best achieved by practicing prayer. So here's what you should do. Pray today and tomorrow and the next day and the one after that. And don't worry about how long you pray. And don't even worry about how well you pray. And don't be discouraged when, not if, your mind wanders. You keep at it. You pray. Don't ever be prayerless, but pray. Let us pray. Father, to the extent that it is helpful, sometimes these kind of how-to sermons can be an encouragement and they can be a rebuke. They can be helpful in many ways. What I ask that would remain in our thinking and in our minds is what is from your word and what is from the Holy Spirit and what brings glory to you and joy to us. Help us to be a people that when we read in the Bible, be constant in prayer, that we can say, more and more that is becoming true of me. So help us through the day to pray spontaneously to you, offering you petitions and praise, as well as to make time to spend some lingering moments with the Word open, praying to you. Help us to be faithful. In your name we pray. Amen.